Hello, everyone, and welcome to UN Habitat's podcast, Road Safety, a Global Issue, an initiative funded by ACROSS, the Global Alliance of Cities for Road Safety. I'm your host, Jordi Bosch-Pla. In each episode, our team will interview a road safety ambassador from an ACROSS member city to learn what they have done, are doing, and are planning to do to improve the road safety in their streets. Our goal is to inspire policymakers, road safety experts, and city officials to replicate successful practices in their own cities. In this first episode, we take you to South Africa to interview Councillor Rob Quintas from the city of Cape Town. Our colleague, Marcela Guerrero Casas, met him in his office to learn more about how the city of Cape Town has transformed into the African reference regarding road safety. Marcela, over to you.
In March 2024, the Global Alliance for Cities on Road Safety, short for ACROSS, convened a city-to-city exchange in Cape Town, South Africa. The group of participants, who came from member cities in Africa and the Middle East, were inspired by what they saw in Cape Town. However, as in all other member cities, and largely other cities in the Global South, Cape Town is faced with enormous challenges when it comes to road safety. Later that month, we sat down with Councillor Roberto Quintas, who is in charge of urban mobility, and asked him how the municipality is addressing this issue.
My name is Rob Quintas. I am the mayoral committee member for urban mobility in the city of Cape Town. For those unfamiliar with the term, if a mayor would have a cabinet, I would be the minister for transport within the city. The city of Cape Town has close on 5 million residents, and my role has many different responsibilities that fall under my directorate, which include roads infrastructure management, that's the maintenance and construction thereof, as well as the construction of infrastructure for public transport, planning for transport and other traffic networking, and of course the operation of the municipal bus service, as well as engagement and a cooperative element with the paratransit industry in the city of Cape Town.
For listeners who have never been to Cape Town, Councillor Quintas described it for us to contextualize the conversation.
So it is certainly a city of contrast, and we are we live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I mean, we don't win best city in Africa or one of the global top destinations for no reason. But transport in general, road building, network management, is actually quite challenging in the Cape Town context for a few reasons. Number one, purely geographical and topography-wise, our city, we are basically a peninsula on a peninsula. We have the ocean on either side of it, and we have one of the seven wonders of the natural world in the middle of it, as well as both to the north and the south, heritage-protected winelands, which of course all make Cape Town wonderful for holidaying. It makes it quite difficult to plan a traffic network when you have some seriously beautiful obstacles in your way. We're also the oldest city in South Africa, as we could refer to as a mother city. So a lot of our development happened, particularly in our CBD and surrounds, before cars, certainly over time we have an old road network in terms of road sizes, and we don't have a lot of space to play in, so to speak, which is where the NMT cycle lanes become a really difficult challenge to try and promote commuting via bicycle in a safe manner. We do what we can with the limitations described. We're also which sadly we were not unique to elsewhere in South Africa, where there is also a great, socioeconomically and demographically, we have very large areas with highly populous, dense populations, which have been out on the, well, once on the urban edge, no longer, they're surrounded by development now, but as a result of apartheid, which was a legal institution of racism in this country for 40 years, there was a lot of, the trains were running and people were forced to go and live on the outskirts of all the sort of developable prime commercial hubs, residential areas. And that has created a apartheid spatial planning legacy that we really need to overcome. And in that, you know, our phase two mass city expansion for the Southeast Corridor of the city is going to address a lot of that by just providing that rapid bus transport system where people are going to be able to access opportunities both on a trunk and networking with areas that they have not been able to access before with an affordable and reliable service. And of course, our ongoing push for the devolution of rail will address that as well. To be fair, nowhere really in the world is it that you will find people living necessarily in the urban center without great cost. So what we need to do is say, this is the legacy we've been left by apartheid. It was a crime against humanity. This is the legacy we have, though. So how do we redress that apartheid spatial planning? And my view is that public transport is one of the best ways to redress that, by developing a public transport network that creates opportunity for development, for more jobs, more commercial investment along and near the areas where people are living, as opposed to people having to always commute. That is made possible by public transport and road infrastructure and networking. And secondly, of course, by having a safe and affordable public transport, which doesn't cost 50% of your household income to get to opportunities, people are able to bring themselves out of the poverty and the situation that they are in as a result of that legacy that we have had 30 years of freedom, but 40 years of that legacy plus prior colonial legacy to overcome.
As a resident of Cape Town, I'm aware of some of the safety hazards on our streets and roads, but it was really interesting to hear what this picture looks like from the perspective of a policymaker.
Unfortunately, South Africa has a very, very high incidence of fatalities and injuries of pedestrians and other commuters, whether it be non-motorized commuters, whether it be cyclists or general pedestrians. This is a whole manifold reasons as to why it happens, and it quite frankly shouldn't happen in any city in the world. We are very focused on bringing that number down significantly and ensuring that particularly our most vulnerable road users are kept safe when utilizing our roads. Roads are not just for cars. Roads are for walkers, people that are cycling, people that are in wheelchairs, and of course, moms pushing prams. So we really want to ensure that we foster the safest possible environment for our more vulnerable road users. Our focus is predominantly on school-going children and learners, and then also on sort of retirement home areas and also hospitals and clinics. All of those are incorporated into our current city traffic calming policy, which is really aimed at keeping the most vulnerable road users safe. Safe as possible, but we also have other interventions that we put in places that may fall outside of the policy in terms of priority, which we will do the necessary traffic assessments and planning on, and then our ward councillors throughout the city can sometimes, of course, through their ward allocation that they get annually, subsidized to pay for additional measures that might fall outside of our main priority budget. But we certainly are always happy to do the installations for them, whether it be speed humps, raised intersections, that may not qualify in terms of our policy, but certainly will benefit communities and road users.
As we know, road safety requires a systemic approach. And in Cape Town, Councillor Quintas says their focus on buses is one of the most exciting developments to make roads safer.
Well, look, I think one of the biggest ticket items that we're busy with is the rollout and expansion of our municipal bus service. Cape Town is largely a pedestrian city. People walk where they need to go. There are a couple of reasons for that. Part of it is accessibility to public transport, reliable, safe, affordable public transport. Some of it is also the fact that, we, like elsewhere on the planet at the moment, and we're not unique in this, is that people are feeling the pressure financially and choose to walk. Well, maybe they don't choose to walk. They're walking because they feel they have no other choice. Unfortunately, the paratransit industry, the costs of getting people to and from their places of work just to earn a wage or a salary can sometimes be up to 50% of their earnings. And that's a lot of money for any household to spend on transport. So the expansion of that My City network, number one, will get people, hopefully, off the roads, which of course keeps them safer. It will alleviate a lot of our congestion issues that we have in the city. And we find that where areas are heavily congested and people are rushing, that is where accidents happen. And that puts our pedestrians really in the crosshairs of heavily congested roads. And then of course, ultimately we are going to council this week to approve our first procurement of electric buses. So that is also going to have its own impact in terms of our CO2 emissions and our aspirations to lower our carbon emissions here in the city of Cape Town, of which public transport is the major contributor, or transport in general, public or private vehicles as well. So that is a really exciting project to bring people to have that additional mobility. Walking should hopefully be your last few hundred meter solution, as opposed to your way of getting quite a distance. And that is made possible by a subsidized and more affordable public transport service.
Local government has limited resources, and law enforcement is not always possible, sufficient, or even appropriate. In Cape Town, they're trying different approaches to change behavior.
So law enforcement, which falls under the Safety and Security Directorate, which is outside of my directorate, I mean, they really are there to enforce bad behavior in terms of negligent, reckless driving, and of course also negligent and reckless walking. Pedestrians too have a responsibility to keep themselves safe, just in the same way that drivers have a responsibility to keep pedestrians safe. But the reality is that you cannot have a traffic officer on every corner of every road in the city of Cape Town. We have about 16,000 kilometers of road network in this city of close on 5 million people. It's very difficult to police people into good behavior all the time, 24/7. However, through more infrastructure, so we have, as part of our traffic calming policy, decreased the speed limits, particularly around schools, hospitals, and in other locations where we know there have been the crash data that we look at indicates that there's a need to reduce speed in a particular area. That we do in consultation with Safety and Security. We suggest or prescribe the limit. They then enforce it. But, people will still drive how they drive. Human behavior, I think, is our biggest challenge in any city in the world around how to keep people safe. If people take more responsibility of how they drive, how they commute, we would see a lot less in terms of injuries and fatalities. So the next thing that we can look at, which we do very much so in this city, is infrastructure methods to forcibly calm traffic and control speed. So we've also started something quite fun, which is certainly not a first in the world, but it's a first, I believe, for Africa, which is that we now have verbal sign displays on some of our roads, which use a nudging technique to get drivers to comply with the speed limits. We'll be rolling those out. They've proven their efficacy. We have certainly seen the decrease in speed in those areas where they have been placed. So, you know, nudging techniques, I get very excited about them. I was exposed to them for the first time in Amsterdam when attending a mobility summit. And we are very keen to keep trying new and novel ways to improve behavior as opposed to punishing bad behavior. But the infrastructural, hard infrastructure that we've installed throughout the city that we find the most successful, depending on the type of road it is. Of course, different classes of road make it difficult to have different solutions. But, you know, the installation of raised pedestrian crossings, raised intersections, and other types of hard infrastructure in areas that have shown a track record of injuries and fatalities, and even vehicle-on-vehicle collision as well. It doesn't always result, not every collision is pedestrian-related. You know, we install those within our traffic calming policy. Those we will plan for and budget for around those vulnerable areas which I described earlier, or where vulnerable road users are, or where we have high crash data statistics. We then implement that as part of our policy. We are currently, we've addressed, I believe, 80% of the schools in the city with some type of hard infrastructure to force motorists to slow down. Other than just signage, we've designed that infrastructure, which is very successful in lowering accidents and collisions of any kind. We are rolling those out. As I mentioned earlier, our ward councillors are also able to allocate some of their annual budget for areas that might fall outside of our traffic calming policy, sort of targeted areas, but where it would be beneficial, we then will actually build and construct that for them, utilizing our resources, but with the funding that will then come from their ward allocation. We are always trying to encourage ward councillors to invest in NMT or in traffic calming measures if their particular area is not within our target area of delivery over the next year or two, or whatever it might be. I'm a ward councillor still as well, and I regularly invest in traffic calming, many speed humps to lower speed in some of the areas within my ward. I've currently started a multi-year ward allocation-based NMT installation in my ward as well, because I know that it wouldn't have qualified. Being the mayoral committee member for transport doesn't mean that I can swing the budget the way I want it. Like every other ward councillor, I've had to do the sums and the planning, and I know that it's not within the city scope. So as a ward councillor, I'd like to leave a legacy of creating a large non-motorized transport track for joggers, walkers, cyclists, horse riders, to keep them out of traffic and on an even surface as well. So, which I'm pretty excited about at the moment. In fact, they are going to be breaking ground in the next week or so.
The one type of nudging tool Councillor Quinta described, which I have actually personally experienced, and I can see why it's so successful, was piloted on a road called High Level Road.
The nudging boards, they will indicate as you approach the speed that you're driving at, and will continue to go up or down depending on your speed. And the success has been because obviously there's a transmitter there which provides us with all the data, and we have seen an absolute drop in the speed that people are traveling by. When people become aware that someone else can see how fast they're driving, and that seems to have had the desired effect, and we're very, very happy about that success, and we'll certainly be rolling more of that out around the city. And once again, that was actually paid for by the ward councillors in the area. They wanted to pilot it. We were thrilled to have the funding to pilot it. So it was a collaboration between my directorate and the local ward councillors. And it's been a huge success. I think people People will be shamed into behaving better. And if that's what it takes to bring the speed down, then so be it. But it has been successful. I'm not able to do, I've joked with some of our traffic planners that I'd like to do it. Their eyes almost popped out their heads, but I'd love to do what I've seen in Portugal when visiting Portugal, between the little villages on the old roads. If you exceed the speed limit, there's on the main road, there are traffic lights as you enter or leave the village. And if you are going over the speed limit, it will be the only time those traffic lights will go red. So if everyone is now pulling up behind you, they know that they're stopping because you've been speeding.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it is great. But unfortunately, that's on the very sort of like rural and district roads. I don't think I would be able to do that in a city of 5 million people.
Safety in Cape Town encompasses many aspects. Councillor Quintas illustrated how security, for instance, is an important component of the city's strategy to improve road safety as a whole.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So, you know, when we build our public transport interchanges, bearing in mind that we build firstly for our MyCity buses and their stations where they will stop, and of course where we have that ideal public transport interchange, which will be MyCity buses plus the paratransit industry, the minibus taxis, and rail, which, as you know, is not functional in this country anymore. And the city is actually trying to, we're busy with a feasibility study to force an argument for the devolution of rail to the municipality so we can get it back up and running and where it should be, the backbone of any public transport and public transport offering in a city. So what we do is we incorporate CCTV cameras at all of our major stations and PTIs. And then, of course, public lighting. We ensure that on the approaches to our bus stops, that there is lighting where often there wasn't public lighting before. So we increase visibility for pedestrians through lighting, and we increase security for our commuters through lighting as well as through surveillance to ensure that those people that are queuing early hours of the morning when it's dark in winter are doing so with light and visibility, both for their own safety in terms of road accidents, but also in terms of mugging and other crime. And then, of course, the CCTV footage also keeps commuters safer potential criminals know that an area is under surveillance 24/7. So those are some of the other additional measures we are doing in the transport space to keep commuters safer from both collision and from crime.
The link between urban mobility and the city's economy is undeniable, but it's not always easy to convey that within government. Councillor Quintas explains how the municipality thinks about this issue.
So I certainly believe that as part of our overall planning that we do in the city, our environment or spatial planning and environment directorate and my directorate work very closely together on looking at how to plan the city of the future. We can't do it without their consultation, and they can't do it really with ours, because transport and development are completely hand in hand, which is why we look at transport oriented development in the city is the go-to before unlocking any packages of development, developable land, whether it be for job creation, whether it be for accommodation, or schools, universities, etc. We need to plan for the city we'd like to see in 50 years' time. That's what we are doing currently. And we do so hand in hand with that directorate. And there's, in fact, before this meeting, I had my one-on-one that I have weekly with my executive director. And she had told me that in the past week, that has now had an additional component, which is our city's economic and investment, economic opportunities and investment directorate, has also joined onto this committee. So that the three directors can actually plan properly together, both on what is going to encourage job creation, what is going to be a great opportunity for investment, or unbundling of city land, what impact will that have on traffic, what type of traffic network needs to be planned for that development, and then environment and spatial planning will look at the overall municipal spatial development framework, saying there is certainly a need for this type of facilities or infrastructure or schools, etc., in a particular area. And the three directors working so closely together are definitely on a clear road to the next 50 years.
When we think of road safety, we tend to assume that the responsibility lies entirely with government. But private sector can and does play a role. We ask Councillor Quintas if and how that happens in Cape Town.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, there are many examples, both recent or current or in the future, that are coming up, where we have large developments, whether it be industrial, residential, etc., that their plans are only approved. There's a contingency in the plan for the developer's approval that is called a development contribution. That development contribution normally will be to do exactly that. So we, as the urban mobility, will say, if you're going to have this amount of people coming in here for work or coming there in and out for to live, unfortunately, we're not unique either. We are very much a car-centric city. Cars are very aspirational for a lot of our residents and communities. So there's still high traffic. And that, of course, is road safety too. Concerns. So what we will do in the mobility space is we'll say, if they're going to develop whatever it is that they're developing, they're going to need to have on the approaches at least some safe NMT to ensure that their workers or their residents are able to get in and out in the most safest possible manner with access to other NMT. And then, of course, if there's traffic calming that needs to be put in place, we will suggest that too. And we'll also give input to our planning approvals department around how it must be designed in terms of traffic flow to ensure, firstly, that our network keeps moving, but also to counter any potential hazards for other road users.
And to wrap up this fascinating conversation, we asked Councillor Quintas to reflect on the power of exchange across cities, especially in the Global South.
So firstly, we are always we're quite proactive in ensuring that we have presence at a lot of the global summits. And we then have some of our officials present. We then try and arrange for discussions, working groups, and collaboration with cities that are like Cape Town. It's wonderful to attend. What I loved so much about what happened in Cape Town on the week that I met with you is that there was another transport summit, and it was the first time that there were these large think tank groups, two on the same day, starting in Africa for Africans, because normally we as Africans have to go to Europe to hear about all the things that are wonderful and working in Europe, but the contexts are completely different. So it was really impressive and encouraging to see that collaboration. That has been fostered at previous summits that we've attended. We are also a city member of the UITP, which allows us all that resourcing, network, information sharing with our partners that are in similar Global South developing cities. So there is collaboration and there is networking that happens. Of course, we'd always love to do more. And find, you know, what works in a city that is like Cape Town would be the ideal, because what works in Zurich is not necessarily going to work in Africa.
Thank
thanks for joining us as we spoke with Rob Quintas. For more information on road safety and the city of Cape Town, check out the ACROS website. We hope to see you again in our next episode.